Well, first of all, I just wanted to apologize briefly. As we'll announce towards the end of Mass, January 1st is a holy day of obligation. And it's as we celebrate the solemnity of the Blessed Mother. And so I didn't catch the mistake, but I put the wrong Mass times in the bulletin. And so the actual Mass times are 10 a.m., 5 p.m., and 7 p.m. in Spanish. So just don't believe the bulletin when the Mass schedule. I just didn't catch it during crazy busy season. So again, on Thursday, New Year's Day, 10 a.m., 5 and 7 p.m. in Spanish. And to make up for my mistake, second announcement, free church calendars in the back. Huh? So make sure you grab your church calendars. Again, we have it out to you freely and happily, so that way you can help follow along the liturgical year of the church. So again, don't believe the bulletin, Mass times. And we'll put on the website and everything else, we'll correct that. All right, let's pray. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Blessed Sunday and Merry Christmas. Again, remember, as Catholics, forget the world's calendar. Forget them. I know in the world, Christmas is just a single day, and then everybody starts just discarding their Christmas decorations. I think now at Walmart, I think they started putting up Halloween decorations already. But no, remember, Christmas is such a pivotal Christian doctrine. Requires more than a day. So forget what the world does. As Catholics, we celebrate it for a few more weeks, and in fact, it ends during the baptism of the Lord. So we can still say, Merry, Merry Christmas. When you do grab a parish bulletin, as you, again, disregard the Mass times for the solemnity of the Blessed Mary, look at the front cover. There's five families that I want to embarrass. Because I didn't ask the permission if I could use the photo, because I wanted to surprise them. And so these are five couples that were just married a few weeks ago. There are our newest five married couples that were blessed in the church. We had a community wedding, because as it was powerful, God is doing amazing things as people start growing in their faith. Part of that is, oh, I want to get my marriage blessed in the church because they were previously civilly married. And of course, if you're civilly married, you can't participate in the life of the church fully, because you can't be confirmation sponsors and whatnot. And so we helped correct that. And so they had their marriage blessed. It was a beautiful occasion. And as well, if you are also civilly married and you want to get your marriage blessed in the church, I highly encourage you, please call the office. And I want to work on that situation to normalize your marriage in the life of the church. So again, reach out happily to help with that process. On the front cover of it, again, five new families blessed in the church. Which is only stunning because it focuses us, again, that we just celebrated a couple days ago. Jesus is born, takes on our frail humanity, the incarnation of God becoming one of us. But then notice what he does next. He is born precisely in a human family. My friends, that is not random. Again, a principle when we read sacred scripture is that Jesus doesn't do anything by accident. Everything is choreographed, every single detail is on purpose, and it has significance. Just for example, again, go back to Christmas story. Where was Jesus born? What city? Bethlehem. What does that mean in Aramaic? The house of bread. Again, he's signaling to the ultimate gift, which he will give as the bread of life. Again, the connections. What is the name of the garden that Jesus was praying in before he was arrested? Gethsemane. Well, what does Gethsemane mean? It literally means an olive press. And if you've ever seen olive oil made, they take huge stones and they press on the olives, and they smash it to extract the oil. What was Jesus doing in the Garden of Gethsemane? What was he oppressed by? The weight of human sin, literally pressing upon Jesus. So much so that I remember in that graphic detail in the Garden of Gethsemane, what was Jesus sweating? Blood. The immensity of the weight of our sins. See, every single detail of our Lord has meaning. And so now Jesus, born in a human family. And what does that little detail signify for our own holy families? Our Lord is shining a light upon that experience which we all grew up in. So one of the great highlights in the Church of the United States is that there's a relatively new Catholic college. It's probably only about 15 years old. It's called Wyoming Catholic College. If I like a little advertisement, if you're discerning where to go to school, if I may recommend Wyoming Catholic. It is a solid Catholic university. And part of the philosophy of Wyoming Catholic is that it uses the Great Books program. And so part of that is that it takes these students and it helps form them by encountering the greatest minds that Western civilization has ever produced. And instead of textbooks, they actually read their primary sources. And they sit in seminar-style classrooms where they have a certain topic, and everybody has to contribute as they wrestle with the ideas of the mind, such as Socrates, Thomas Aquinas, the great philosophers and theologians, and also creation. Because Wyoming Catholic College is a stunningly beautiful place. And part of the program is that every college freshman, as part of their orientation before the academic year begins, have to go on a 3-week backpacking trip. 3 weeks. And so they hire pre-chaplains for the college kids. And so I do this every couple of years or so. And we join them on the kids for the hike, because the part of it is that they want the college students to have mass every single day. Every morning we wake up, boom, mass. And also we have confessions, so we make ourselves available. So they'll separate the kids, young ladies and the young men, and then they break them up into groups of 12, three upperclassmen, and then a priest chaplain. And so a few years ago on this last trip that I did with them, we were hiking, carrying 50-pound packs, hiking again up and down in the mountains. And it was rough, because again, now I'm not a young man, I'm a man in my mid-40s now. And I didn't complain once, because how could you? You have a young lady, 18 years old, carrying the same amount of weight. They can't have their pre-chaplain complaining. If they can do it, we can do it. Well, every night we would set up camp, we had a certain protocol we had to follow. You set up your tents in one section of when you find a campground or a camping area, and then about 30 yards away, you set up your kitchen where we do all of our cooking. And then another about 30 yards away, that's where you store your food around a bear fence, an electrified bear fence. So sleeping area, kitchen, and food storage. Why we had to do that was because, again, what is Wyoming famous for as well? Grizzly bears. And people get mauled by grizzlies up there. And so we have to follow a certain protocol. So one night, we're all in our tents. It's evening time by 10 p.m. We're all in our individual tents. Of course, as the chaplain, I'm away from the young ladies because we had to separate everybody. And it's pouring down rain. And as I'm lying there in my bed, warmly in my sleeping bag, I find a bag of beef jerky. Like, oh no, I can't sleep next to my beef jerky. And so I was like, all right, let me just put on a light rain jacket, put on my light pants, because again, pouring down rain. And this was my first mistake. You always tell someone where you're going. But I thought, I'm a man, I'm the priest chaplain, I know where the food storage is. If I just beeline it, I know it's in that direction. And so I said, quick trip, out and back in. Again, pouring down rain, completely dark. I have a little headlamp. You can see maybe 10 feet, 15 feet ahead of you. Again, we're in the middle of the forest. And as I'm thinking the direction where the food storage was, as I'm walking up and down hills and between trees, I lose my orientation. I didn't know which way was left, which way was right, up and down. It was just so confusing. I get lost for the next hour, pouring down rain, and I begin to panic. I have no idea where I'm going. And in my panic, I stumble and I fall into a creek. So now I'm soaking wet, panicking, freezing, not knowing what to do. And then finally I get to a clearing and I realize I'm not gonna find my camp. Because the next rule of backpacking is if you get lost, stop where you are. Because what happens if I keep walking, what's gonna happen? I'm gonna get even more lost. Even worse, so I might fall off a cliff. Again, it's completely dark. We're in the Wind River Range, one of the most beautiful mountain ranges in the United States. And so there I was, a light rain jacket, a light pair of pants. The forecast is freezing temperatures. And I realized I'm not prepared. Because what is going to kill me out there? Hypothermia. And so as I was sitting there, I said, oh my gosh, is this how my life ends? And what's amazing, as I was lying there, I found a rock to sit next to. So I don't know. If I die out here, my mom's gonna get mad at me. I told you not to go out there backpacking all the time. I just kind of pictured it. I said, oh no, and then if I die on a Wyoming Catholic college trip, it's gonna destroy the reputation. I said, oh no, I can't die out here. Well, it was amazing when I realized I might freeze to death. You start to ask yourself deep questions and to ponder. Immediately, I made an act of contrition. Jesus, I'm sorry for my sins. I'm sorry for all the ways I have failed you as a priest. Have mercy on me. And then immediately what followed after, and you've probably heard this before, when we're facing death, you know, people often report your life flashes before your eyes. That actually happens. You start to review in an instant your entire life. And what's amazing, again, it wasn't conscious, it was just natural when I thought, oh my God, I might die. And I looked upon my whole life, and what came up was that and all the ways that I've failed, and all of my regrets at the way I treated my family. Again, it was instinctive, it just came out. Like, wow, I've been a jerk towards my mom, my dad, my sister, my family members. I've been a jerk to parishioners. I've been angry. And all these ways, and I started realizing all the different ways that I was pondering was that how I failed to love. And then I apologized to God, of course. And then a sense of calm came over. It happened to be the feast day of St. John Vianney, my confirmation saint. And I was praying to St. John Vianney. I said, Father John, help me. I don't want to die out here. And a calm came over me. I said, all right, let's try to survive. Right next to me, I found two huge boulders that had fallen over each other, which created a little crevice. I said, oh, I can crawl in here, at least it will keep me safe from the rain. But then laying on the hard rock was, where would the vast majority of your body, you would lose it through? With the ground. Again, thin rain jacket, thin rain pants. So I grabbed some boughs from a tree, and I made a bed to at least get my body off of the ground. And I started lying there, and I realized, and as I was hitting there on a bed of pine leaves under this rock, I began to shiver uncontrollably. I was like, oh no, if I keep doing this, it's the first symptoms of hypothermia. No fire, nor warm clothing. What is the only option left to generate heat? Move. Keep moving your body. And so what I would do, because I was in a clearing now, my little rock shelter, I said, all right, here's what I'll do. I'll run around in a circle for the next 7 hours. So I ran around in a circle, but in order to keep my mind fresh and alert, I prayed the rosary, yelling out the mysteries. Because again, in grizzly bear country, how do you scare away the grizzly bears? Well, the first, because they don't want to encounter human beings. If they can hear us and avoid us, they would. And so I would yell out the Hail Marys and the mysteries. So if just for example, this is going to, you know, laugh at me. But so for example, I would run around a circle and I go, third glorious mystery, the descent of the Holy Spirit. And I'm yelling it out. I have the Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit, I'm on fire. And he's just being silly. And then I would shadow box the devil. Right, I would sit there and I would move my arm, pretend like I was shadow boxing the devil. Why? Because I have the Holy Spirit. And I'm doing this for the next 7 hours, running around in a circle, moving. And then when I would get exhausted, I would crawl into my little hole and take a 2-minute nap. Why 2 minutes? Because my body would uncontrollably shiver. Sign, get up, continue again. I prayed over 20 rosaries running around. And then amazingly, the sun rose. I said, oh my, I survived the daylight. The next rule when you're lost in the woods, try to get to a high vantage point to reorientate yourself. So I get up and I begin to scale a mountain. And as I'm walking up the mountain to get a better vantage point, I stumble upon another camp. There's a gentleman there making hot coffee. Realizing it's probably 6 a.m, I better be gentle. I better not just storm out of the woods and scare him. So I gently walk over to him. Good morning, sir. Apologize. I didn't mean to scare you. I've been lost in the woods all night. I need help. Feast day of St. John Vianney, my confirmation saint. Guess what this gentleman's name was? John. And guess where he works? He is a professor of a Catholic school in Chicago. My name is Father Brian. I am a chaplain for Wyoming Catholic College, and I'm lost. And he pointed, he says, oh, I know where your camp is. He takes us to another vantage point and points, and sure enough, I was only about 100 yards away from my camp. But then remember, pitch dark, pouring rain, darkness. You have no idea where you are. By the time I arrive at camp, it's about 7 a.m. The college ladies are just waking up for breakfast. They had no idea I was even gone. I share that story to prove that I'm a man. But to show how, why death and the threat of impending death sharpens our minds and focuses on what's really important. Again, if you go to Vacaville Meyer Cemetery, go to any cemetery, same thing. Read the headstones of the people lying there. What do you read? Loving mother, beloved son, husband. You never read, Bill had 4 houses. Bill drove a Mercedes. You see nothing of what the world holds of value, but rather you see what really matters. And Jesus here, now born in a family, the question now becomes why? 1 John chapter 4, Scripture tells us that God is love. Where do you and I first encounter love? In the family. Where do I receive my dignity as a beloved son? In a family. Where do I get the idea of my value and my worth? In a family. My friends, it is in the family that forms us and gives us the foundations to love. Because we know the converse of that, don't we? What happens when we're not loved in a family? When we're abused in a family? When we're hurt in a family? It causes wounds that we carry for the rest of our lives. In fact, I dare say, when family life is hurting, it unravels our entire civilization. And I'm not being hyperbolic there. John Paul II even said, the family is the basic foundation stone of our civilization. And he said, and I quote, the future of humanity passes through the family. Because it's where we encounter love. And there is no more important place. Which is why all of the readings today, do you hear all the readings from the book of Sirach and then from the book of Colossians, all deals with our human relationships in the family. Because as we all know, family life is hard. Because I'm broken, you're broken, we're all broken. And in that brokenness, Paul says, bear with one another. Heartfelt compassion, kindness, humility, and gentleness, and patience. As the Lord has forgiven you, so must you also do. Jesus is born in the Holy Family to show us how to love like him. And I want to end with you with the most popular second reading in any Catholic wedding. Now, with all that in the background, notice what happens next. Most popular second reading every couple chooses. I will show you a still more excellent way. If I speak in human and angelic tongues, but I do not have love, I am a resounding gong or a clashing cymbal. And if I have the gift of prophecy and comprehend all mysteries and all knowledge, if I have faith so as to move mountains, but do not have love, I have nothing. If I give away everything I own, and if I hand over my body over so that I may boast, but do not love, I gain nothing. The Holy Family and our families, centered in Christ, are places where we encounter love.